Good afternoon, everyone. Well, the session is about Windows Azure and PHP. So my first question to you is, who is a PHP developer? Or who is using PHP in their day-to-day developer life?
Very lightly.
Very lightly. One? We have someone else? Okay, super. Well, in any case, this is going to be interesting just to show you a little about how Microsoft is committed to not only making Windows Azure available to .NET, but also to PHP, and well, some of the things I'm going to show you will also be available if you're using Java. Who's using Java? Okay, also one. So we have two people. Perfect. My name is Maarten Baljouw. I work for a company in Belgium, Real Dolmen. I'm from Antwerp, but due to the fact that I'm speaking English, it should be hidden a bit that I'm from Antwerp in my language. I focus mostly on web technology, so ASP.NET, ASP.NET, MVC, PHP, Windows Azure, well, everything related to web. I'm also an MVP ASP.NET. And due to historical reasons, I've always been playing around, losing the micro. I've been playing around with PHP and Microsoft technology, so really combining both worlds, which is pretty interesting. For example, one of my open source projects, PHP Link, allows you to use Link, which you know from the .NET world, in PHP, and well, some others. I'm also the author of the Windows Azure SDK for PHP. My blog is on there, and if you want to follow me on Twitter, I usually or say that I'm in traffic, or say I'm drinking coffee, but also news that I think is interesting, and that's not really enough or large enough to blog about, I always post that on Twitter as well, so interesting news on there too. The agenda for today, well, first a bit of an overview of PHP on Windows and on Windows Azure. I've put Azure between brackets. Why? Because everything that I'm going to show you is available for PHP on Windows. But since Windows Azure is essentially Windows, it's also available there. So it's really covering both sides. Next will be a lot of demos. So I have way too much demos for 1 hour, I guess. So we'll see where we end up. Do we have another tape for the mic or something? Because it keeps falling down. Good idea. Not sure if it will work this way, but anyway. So let's agree on this one first. If you have questions, just shoot during the session. Just ask your question. If you're wondering, does something exist, or how do I make use of something specific, just ask, and I'll try to explain, and maybe even try to do a demo on it. So let's agree on that. Okay. So PHP on Windows and on Windows Azure. I've put this one first. It's generally underestimated by many. If you say PHP and Microsoft in one sentence, people or start laughing or they don't believe your message. But I can tell you it's well, immense what Microsoft has been doing with PHP. Thank you. And supporting PHP on the Windows platform and the Windows Azure platform. To give you an idea, I've been working with PHP on Azure for quite a long time, and I actually started working on tooling for Eclipse, Java and PHP, and .NET, so which you can make use of in Visual Studio. And for a long time, the tooling in Eclipse was actually better and more developed, and more features were available in there than the .NET version for Visual Studio. So that's quite impressive for Microsoft. So in this case, most people underestimate Microsoft in that regard. Going to start very basic with the Web Platform Installer. Who knows this tool? Okay, some people, which is good. This is basically your starting point if you want to start working with development for PHP, for ASP.NET, on your Windows machine. It gives you, well, basically a product feed of other features that are available to configure your web server on your development machine, to install additional tooling, also to install applications. It's not only for the tooling and the configuration part, but also for applications. If you want to install WordPress or Drupal or BlogEngine.net, ASP.NET, and PHP applications are available in there as well. So I'm going to quickly show you that one, which I will do in my VPC. Well, basically because I have a lot of stuff installed on my machine, and if I would be doing it on my machine, I couldn't show you anything because I basically installed everything in there. So let's start a web platform installer, which you will find on microsoft.com/web. And what it first does when booting is actually getting the list of products that are available. So the list of products regarding to tooling and SDKs that are available, but also the application. That's just to ensure that you always have the latest version available. Now, I think my internet connection in my virtual PC is broken, so I will show you on my machine, but I can't install anything because basically I have installed way too much on my machine. So let's start the web platform in here. There we go. Shouldn't have started this one. So web platform installer, getting the list of products, which should be a bit faster than on the virtual machine without the network connection. It worked. Try over the wire. Ah, there we are. So what you see here is basically a list of applications that are available. Some spotlight applications, so some applications that Microsoft wants to feature, for example, WebMatrix, which is my next demo. Also Orchard, .NET content management system. But you will also see Joomla, for example, a PHP application in this list. You can just say install. And go ahead and install an application on your machine. You also see things like, for example, this IIS7 recommended configuration, which is basically just a list of settings to configure your development machine for you. You just say install and everything happens without you having to interfere in there. So it's quite useful to work with. And there are a lot of applications if you want to work with some applications. And a lot of products like, for example, if you want to have pretty search engine optimized URLs, there's a URL rewriting module in there. If you want to transform your IIS server into a load balancer, you can also install the WebFarm framework. Basically anything Microsoft has to offer regarding the web is available in this tool. Okay, so next, WebMatrix. Quite a new kid on the block. Micro has gone down again. I was basically stepping on it, so I hope the sound is okay. WebMatrix is quite a new tool. Losing it every time. Don't keep it like this. So I may look funny, but just for the microphone. So WebMatrix is basically an integrated development environment. Let's say a Visual Studio Lite that's available in your system, which you can use to develop web applications. So for example, .NET web applications in ASP.NET MVC, in ASP.NET, but also PHP applications. And they also use some of the infrastructure of the web platform installer I just showed you. So you can easily start from a template in WebMatrix. So if you want to start building your own personal blog, for example, just fire up WebMatrix, say I want to create a WordPress website, and start developing a WordPress website. It also contains a database manager, so if you want to manage your WordPress database, you can just do that from within that tool. So I'm going to show you quickly what this tool looks like. And I clicked the wrong location in my slide, I guess. Okay. So back to my virtual PC, and let's start WebMatrix. And you will see it looks pretty simple. When it has started, you will see that you only have four buttons to start with your website. You can choose an existing website, create a new one from scratch, or create one from your file system or from a template. But don't let this fool you. Actually, the tool, first I was a bit skeptical about it because it looked too easy and there was not enough features in there. But actually, I started to like it as a developer. So let's just start a website from the web gallery. But I didn't have internet, so I can't do that on this machine. But I can do it on my machine again. So let's start WebMatrix. I can start a site from the web gallery. And what you will see is, again, this list of applications that's also available in the web platform installer. Okay, let's not wait for this one. I go back to my virtual machine, and I'm just going to start a website from scratch, just so you have an idea of what this tool has to offer. And if you have network connectivity, it would be even better. So let's see if we can cancel this. Doesn't look like it. Going to start a second copy of it. So I'm going to start a site from a template, and this template will basically be or something empty, or a business website, or a blog, or a photo website, or something like that. Okay. We have a not responding in there. Going to try it again on my machine. Really virtual machines, if you host them on your virtual or on your own desktop, it's not what you want to do. Okay, so I can start off from an empty website. We'll just call it empty sites. Click OK. And what it does is it creates a folder on my hard drive, and it will start up a development web server. It will make sure I have a development database available all within this tool. So what you will see on this starting page here is that it has created a web server on my local machine, which is just a local host URL, but I can immediately start developing and have something where I can test my application that I'm working on. You can also go to settings and have some basic configuration for my website. I can, for example, say I want to enable PHP, and by default it has enabled PHP in here, which is version 5.2. Next thing I can do, I can go to files, and you will see an empty robots.txt file for search engines, and I can just say, well, add a new file, make it PHP, call it index.php, and the hello world of all PHP websites is, I'll show you the PHP info call, which is basically just the method in PHP which displays all the configuration values of your PHP installation. So what I can do now is go back to my home page, click my URL in there, and you will see that it opens my website that I just created in WebMatrix. So there we go. This is the PHP output, PHP info output. So before, if you wanted to do PHP development on Windows, you had to configure a lot of stuff yourself. It was unstable, but now it's just like a finger knip, like a snap of a finger. You can just develop your PHP application on Windows. So no more need for external tooling there. Here's an overview of what's available in the PHP space for working with Microsoft technologies. And it's really just the tip of the iceberg. So that's what I started with. People underestimate Microsoft when it comes to the PHP world, and this is all that's available. So some platform components. Microsoft is contributing to the PHP core to make it run fast on Windows. They have fast CGI on IIS, which is a method of speeding up PHP applications on your IIS web server. There's WinCache, which also does something similar to that. URL rewriting to have pretty URLs for your website. The SQL Server driver, where you can just use your PHP application together with SQL Server. On the other hand, you will find some SDKs, for example, for SQL Server reporting services, where you can build your application in PHP, but do your reporting in reporting services and use reports from SQL Server in that application. And of course, a lot of tools, Web Platform Installer, WebMatrix. There's an IIS PHP Manager, which just allows you to select which version of PHP you want to run for a specific website, enable or disable modules that are needed for your application, things like that. Very interesting one are the Windows Azure tools for Eclipse, which I'll show you in a minute, which is basically everything that you have inside Visual Studio for your .NET development. You also have that available in Eclipse for your Java or PHP development. And of course, the SDKs, say a product name within the Microsoft space, and they have an SDK for it in PHP space. So quite impressive. If you want an overview, you can find it on this way too long URL, but product names in Microsoft space are long URLs as well.
There's Surface SDK for PHP?
There's no Surface SDK. Well, there may be. I don't know. There's Eclipse tooling for Silverlight, so if you can run Silverlight on your or on your Surface or on your PC, you can build it within Eclipse as well. Okay, Windows Azure. As I said, Microsoft actually started building Windows Azure with interoperability in mind, so they immediately started working on support for .NET, of course, but also for PHP, Ruby, Python, you name a language, and they intended to support it. At this moment, the .NET space, the PHP space, and the Java space are developed mostly, but nothing prohibits you from building some tooling yourself, because everything you do on Windows Azure is basically open standards. HTTP, XML, REST, RSS feeds, you name it. And all these things are basically what's underneath this tooling. So if you do a deployment from your Visual Studio or from your Eclipse, what you're basically doing is calling some REST calls on an HTTP endpoint somewhere in the Windows Azure data center, and you're deploying your application there. If you want to work with storage from your application, it's also just HTTP calls and REST to work with the storage. So I have seen for Python, for example, there's some open source library there to work with Windows Azure storage as well. And of course, from within your Eclipse, your Visual Studio, and your PHP application, you can use almost any of these technologies that are available. So I'll give you basically the same Hello World as Nick has done in the .NET space, but I will do it in the PHP space. So let's return to my VPC, and let's hope it's a bit more stable and speedy. What matrix has really crashed? I think it took the blue pill. Okay, so let's go to my Eclipse. And what I can do here is just say I want to start a new project. Where is it? A Windows Azure PHP project. So this one, which is basically the exact same idea as you have in your Visual Studio, a project template for creating a PHP application in Windows Azure. Click Next. You give it a name. I will call it Hello, if my keyboard would work. Okay. For some reason, I'm going to go full screen. This may take a second, but I hope it works better. All right, applause for the PC. Okay, so let's create a new project. And just like in the .NET world, it will just ask you what you want to create. So in this case, I will say I want to create a web role. I'll name it web, which is very inspiring. I say I want to use storage. I can say I want to work with SQL Azure and already enter my connection details in there. Can choose which PHP version I want to run on my Windows Azure virtual machine. I can enable or disable diagnostics to have some information. For example, if I want to do some autoscaling, I can enable diagnostics and just read out performance counters from my PHP application and do the scaling. So let's click Finish. And just like in the .NET space, you will see two projects appearing. May take a second. Not responding. Okay. It's been working. Okay. So you will see two projects in here. One, the Hello project, and one, the Hello underscore web project. I will just start zoom it so you can have a closer look. So there we go. Two projects. One which contains my service model. So every time you do a deployment to Windows Azure, what you deploy is, on one hand, your application, so your source code, your binaries, and on the other hand, a model for the Windows Azure Fabric Controller to know which ports in the firewall should be opened, what's your DNS name, how should the load balancer be configured, etc. So those are things you enter in this project, and this project is basically your application. What I can do now is just right-click this thing, say Windows Azure, run in Development Fabric, and again, just like in .NET world, my development cloud on my machine will contain this application and pretend it's being Windows Azure. So after a few seconds, it should be appearing in here. Takes a second. Ah, there we go. So by default, it has also configured just only one virtual machine in my development cloud, but you see here it's running in there. My hello solution, my web role, and one instance. And you will see, if you have a look at the console, you will see whatever is happening during startup of this this machine. And in here you see my PHP info again, which is now hosted on my development Windows Azure machine. So let's undeploy this thing again. Okay. Now, I know someone was asking for how do I scale my Windows Azure solution when I want to automatically scale. Well, I haven't implemented reading diagnostics information just for checking my performance counters, but what I have done is I've actually deployed a .NET application in my public Windows Azure cloud. So I have my Windows Azure Project 1, which is just basically next, finish, and deploy, with one web role and one instance there. Now, what I can do is go to my PHP. Let's make it a bit bigger. I can say I want to connect to this subscription for Azure with a specific certificate. And then I can say set instance count by slots. And I say, well, this project, my production slot, my web role one, should have two instances. That's basically everything there's to it. Now, when I run this on my cloud, I can say php management.php. You will see that it will connect using a REST call to the HTTP endpoint in Windows Azure and just start scaling my application to two instances this time. So you can also do this in .NET. You can do it in Java. I'm doing it in PHP right now. So the request is out. It's now just waiting for the request to finish. But this can take up to 15 minutes because it's actually provisioning a new virtual machine right now. So if I get refreshed data in here, you should see that it's trying to start a new second instance of my application. Let's wait a moment. Okay, so now you see it's updating. So my status is updating. And what it's doing is it's telling the environment to scale up. So I think the next refresh will already show you two virtual machines in there. So it's very simple to do. You can do it in any language. And if you don't like the SDK, you can even write it yourself because it's just a REST call that you're doing to your application. So there you go. We now have two instances from PHP, which is pretty nice, I think. Okay, so Nick already told you that Windows Azure is not an all or nothing solution. You can have your application running in Windows Azure, making use of Windows Azure Storage, making use of SQL Azure. But you can also have your application sitting on your own web server, in your own data center, or at a hoster in Belgium, or whatever, and have those applications also connect to your storage or to your SQL Azure database. So there's no limitations in doing this kind of scenario as well. If you want to get started with PHP or Java on Windows Azure, you can download the Eclipse tooling at the URL on top. And if you want to have some easy-to-use command line tooling, where you can just say, package this folder into something I can deploy in Azure, you can also download the command line tooling to do that. The tooling that's available, well, basically, if you want to develop your PHP application, you can use anything you're used to working with, on Linux, on Windows, on Mac, whatever. The only thing that you can't do on other platforms is local debugging. Well, local debugging in your Windows Azure simulation environment. Why is this? Well, your target platform is Windows Azure, which is Windows. And in order to be able to simulate it, you at least need a virtual machine running Windows. So the only place where you can do it actually is Windows. But all the other things, deploying, packaging, you name it, you can do it on your Linux build server, for example. Now, I have another demo for you, which is my fancy image cloud application. And you will see I've spent hours and hours on designing the graphical user interface. It's basically Flickr, built in PHP. It's a website where you can upload your images. You have unlimited storage. You can store images in small sites, large sites, original. And if I enable the content delivery network, everyone around the world will have fast access to the pictures I upload in there. I built it using the Eclipse tooling, using the Windows Azure SDK for PHP, which is basically the one-stop SDK to communicate with your blob starch, with your table starch, with your queues, to do management, to read diagnostics, anything. I've built it using standard starch, so tables, blobs, and queues, and with a web role and a worker role. So what it does is my end users will make use of the web role to upload a picture. The web role will write data in all of these storage types. It will upload the image to blob storage, so anyone wanting to access the image can have access to the image on blob storage. It also writes some metadata to table storage, so it was uploaded on this date, the original image size was this, it was a JPEG file, this user uploaded it, etc. And also push a message into a queue, basically stating resize this image to a smaller format, to a medium format, and a large format. What then happens is my worker role will come into play, will also read all this information, resize my image, push it to blob storage again, and right after that, my end user can just view all the sizes of the images. So I will show you how I've built this application as well. So let's return to my virtual machine. And you will see that in here, I have three projects, Image Cloud, Image Cloud Web, and Image Cloud Worker. So I have, again, my model. What components does my application consist of? I have my web role running my front-end website, and I also have my worker role, which will do the actual resizing. So this is typically what you want to do on the back-end and something that you want to do in a worker role. So let's start it also on my development fabric. There we go. It's packaging. It's deploying to my machine. And what I've done is I enabled it to just run only one web role, so one front-end server, but I have two worker roles sitting in the back, so I can have a lot of users uploading images. And I can really scale independently. So if my front end has a lot of work to do, I can scale out my front end. And if I have a lot of image resizing to do, I can just scale out my worker roles and just keep one or two web roles in front. So my application is there with my fancy graphical design. I think the logo is most impressive. I can browse for an image, and let's say I want to upload a koala. I can upload it. Takes a while. It's a large image. It's been uploaded. I can click here. And what you will see is that for all these sizes, small, medium, large, it says processing. So the messages have been inserted in the queue. The work is out there, but it may not have been finished already. So I'm going to try refreshing this. And normally when a worker role, but actually made them slow, the worker roles, just to be able to demonstrate this concept. After a while, the images should start coming in. But my worker role may still be booting even. So my message is already in my queue, but the worker role may still be booting and process the message later on. Let's see if it has started. Takes a while. By the way, Nick has already shown you that you can host any file on blob storage. So for example, if you need a lot of storage somewhere for your static content of your website, you can just host it on blob storage as well. If you look at my original link here, if I hover it, you will see that I'm basically pointing to my local development storage account. I can just click it and open my image from there. So there you go. See if my images started coming in. Not yet. But it seems like my worker role is still booting. So it takes a while on my virtual machine to do this.
I have a little question.
Yes.
Suppose you have some legacy PHP code that depends on MySQL. Is that possible to run that on the cloud on Azure?
So if you have a MySQL database, you have several options if you want to use that with Windows Azure. There's, first of all, use your own MySQL. Keep it off Azure and host your database in there. There's another option where you host MySQL inside a worker role. So you can perfectly do this, deploy it as a binary application. Write, I think, with 5 or 6 lines of .NET code, you can just boot up MySQL inside a worker role, and you have MySQL running in there. It's not that easy to manage because you can't really log into the server, but you can have MySQL running like that on Windows Azure. Problem is that in that case, you only have one instance. So if you want multiple instances, you can start playing and configuring it, but it's difficult. But there's also a MySQL solution accelerator on MSDN, which is basically a almost ready package containing MySQL where you just have to push in your database files and your exact MySQL version. You can deploy that and then use that on Windows Azure. So yes, it's, yeah. So it's,
it,
basically, if you do a little bit of tweaking in there, you can do it, but it may be asking for trouble depending on your type of application. Okay, my worker role seems to be very slow in starting. So there we go. My images are there. So I have now a small one, I have a medium one, and I have a large one. All resized by my worker roles. I just uploaded it on the front end. My worker roles did some work and pushed it back to blob storage. Okay. I'm going to show you one extra demo, just again to show you that Windows Azure is not an all or nothing story. I have two sides of applications in here. One is my public website, which has been written in .NET. And what I will do here is register as a new user on this website. And what this thing will do is send me a welcome email. Send me a welcome for registering to this website email to my email account. Now, problem is, if I host this application on Windows Azure doesn't have an SMTP server available. You may say, oh no, there's no SMTP available. But there's actually a good reason for that. Since you're using shared IP addresses, and every time you deploy your application, you're using a different IP address, you may or may not have your application sitting on a machine that's somewhere in a spam blacklist. And that's basically the reason why there's no SMTP in there, basically to prevent spammers from using Azure as their spamming platform, but also to protect you from ending up in spam folders. So what I did in this application is the message is pushed again in a queue. And on-premise, on my machine, I have a PHP script that's just polling the queue sitting in Windows Azure and sending out the emails then. So you can also do it like that. So let's try that one. First of all, I'm going to start my PHP queue polling process. There we go. And you will see it will check for new messages and then always wait a little bit longer. So at first it waits for 1 second, then it waits 2 seconds, and it always increases. The reason why I did this is because if you poll your queue every second for a few times, you may end up with considerable amounts of euros on your Azure invoice, because you're also built for transaction costs. Every time you do a request to Windows Azure blob storage or queue storage, you will be paying. I don't think it's bad, because basically what this does is encourage you to write better code. Really, if you do it like this, your application will consume less CPU and be cheaper in polling the queue on Windows Azure. So that's what I'm doing here. So let's register on this website. I have no validation, so I can enter any email address in here. Register. And what it does is it pushed the message inside a queue. And what you will see after 11 seconds, because it's waiting for 11 seconds, you will see that it has found one message. It's sending the message and then restarting my polling mechanism. So I'm communicating between the real Windows Azure Cloud and my machine just for sending out the emails. Again, not an all or nothing story. You can anything you can imagine, you can do it on Azure. So if you're lazy and you don't want to do a lot of development, there's one extra pretty cool tool available, which is the Windows Azure Companion for PHP. Well, they say it's for PHP, but actually I managed to trick it to install any kind of application from the .NET space as well. What it does is it offers you something similar to the web platform installer on your machine, but on Windows Azure. So what you do is you deploy a package, a pre-made package to Windows Azure. You hand it a feed. I have one available on my blog containing some PHP versions. I think Drupal is in there, WordPress is in there, just for demonstration purposes. And based on that feed, you can install stuff on your Windows Azure Companion web role that's available. So workflow is like this. You upload a CS package file from MSDN. You upload your service configuration, where you have to enter a username and a password that you want to be using, where you have to enter the feed that it's going to be using, and where you have to enter the credentials for your storage account on Windows Azure. After that, you run it. You have an administration interface, and you have your public website available, and you can just do anything you want to do. Now, because it takes 50 minutes to deploy your application on Windows Azure, for good reasons, I've already done this before the session, so I have one empty Windows Azure companion available. You can see I've deployed it. I have one web role running with my Windows Azure companion. And let's just browse to it. So there we go. This is my public website. So you see it's this URL, my account name, .cloudapp.net. .cloudapp.net is your domain name you will always get when you deploy something on Windows Azure. It's just to have a DNS name available for your services. But it's pretty simple. Just add a CNAME record in your DNS, and you can host any custom domain name on Windows Azure as well. So I now have this one, and it will just keep and keep on loading. Why? Because I didn't install anything on this machine yet. So I can log in to my administration backend, which is basically just same URL, but a different TCP port. You can go there, log in, and for example, go to my platform tab and say, I want PHP in there. I want the Windows Azure SDK in there. And I don't know what this does, but I'll install it anyway. Next. It will give you some other choices. Which version do you want to install? Which Windows Azure SDK do you want to install? Which version of this do you want to install? And you can click Next. You can also do it differently. Go to Applications and say, for example, that I want to install WordPress. I can click Next. I can say I want this specific version. I want to install it under a subfolder or on the root of my website. I'll just say the root of my websites. I can choose my PHP version because WordPress has a dependency on PHP and the SQL Server driver for PHP, so it will just list all these dependencies and automatically check them to install them on this machine as well. I click Accept. And what it will do now is just download all these things from their websites, so some from SourceForge, some from Coplex, wherever they may come from, and install it on my machine. Now, this takes a few seconds, so what I'm going to do is create a SQL Azure database on SQL Azure. So let's go to my portal here, go to my SQL Azure subscription. Let's reset my administrator password because I really don't know what my administrator password is because I always change it for demos. So let's say test123. Did something wrong in there? Test123. I should have one special character in there. So let's say test123@, which is pretty cool. Okay, there we go. My administrator password is there. This is just basically specifying my SA user, which you also have on SQL Server. Next thing I will do is create a database. Let's say I'll call it WordPress, because I'm installing WordPress. A web edition, 1 GB. Let's go for it. So my database is there, and I hope my WordPress installation is finished. Yes. So what I can do now is just browse again to my website in there. And you will see WordPress is sitting there, not yet installed. Well, the binaries and the source code is there, but the application hasn't been installed yet. So I can just proceed with the regular WordPress installation from now on. let's say my database name is WordPress, my username is SQLADM at, I think this is the URL, test123 at was my password. My database host is, let's just copy it from the portal. There it is. So let's paste it in here. Choose SQL Server driver as my backend. So I'm going to install PHP WordPress on a SQL Server backend. Click Submit. Run the installer. Let's say ISV demo blog admin test123 at again. There we go. My email address in there as well. And install WordPress. So this is basically the easiest way of installing any PHP, and if you do a little bit of tweaking .NET application as well on Windows Azure. So now I have my WordPress block running on Azure. There we go. Just pretty easy. I think I did it in 10 minutes installing a block on Windows Azure and SQL Azure as the backend. So I like it. Okay. Now, if you want to get started with Windows Azure, just get an account, download the tools, and then play, learn, develop. And once you're in phase three, you will just keep playing and learning because it's so interesting and really funny to do because you have all these kinds of different things that you normally don't have in your development, like every line of code you write can make the bill higher or lower. So you have to think about your application in different ways. There's some offers available if you want to start. There's an introductory special, which is most interesting if you want to start playing. Since yesterday, there's 750 hours of virtual machine time in there, so you can deploy a virtual machine for free for it's a little bit more than 1 month. You can also deploy a bit of a larger instance of a virtual machine for 25 hours, so for a day. You have some storage, you have a SQL Azure database, and you have some data transfer. And it's free, so no strings attached there. If you want to get started with PHP, again, a very long URL, but note it down because this is really the best starting point. It contains links to all the tooling. It contains links to resources available on the web, but also a lot of tutorials. So, for example, the thing I showed you with the registration email and the queue reading this thing and the back-off polling that I was doing to lower my bill. That's a tutorial that's available on there. There's also stuff like hosting files on the content delivery network. So really a lot of resources if you want to do PHP development on there. If you want to go to Las Vegas and you don't want to pay for your tickets, you can also enter the PHP on Azure contest for which you can register till, I think, end of February. So you still have a few days left. There's flyers in the back as well. What you have to do is build a PHP application, host it on Azure, and hope the jury picks your application as being the most interesting if you want to go to Vegas. If you don't want to go to Vegas and you want a Windows phone, you can be the second interesting, and etc. So you have some days left. Website is phpazurecontest.com, and well, it would be great to have some extra contestants in there. Conclusion of my talk. PHP is a first-class citizen on Windows Azure. I know this sounds a lot like marketing, but basically it is. Except for the Windows Surface, every product of Microsoft has a PHP SDK or tooling for PHP available. So really, they're investing in making PHP a first-class citizen. They still have work left to do, for example, a Surface SDK. But they're working on it and working on it quite hard and always listening to your input. So if you are building PHP apps or Java apps and you have inputs, just contact someone at Microsoft and they will bring you in touch with the product teams for this. And again, generally underestimated by many. So thank you for being here. And if you have some more questions, I'll try to answer them.
How is the compatibility?
It's basically the same thing. So the source code is, well, not exactly the same because for file system access, for example, it's different on Linux and on Windows, but it's equally fast. I've seen benchmarks running PHP on Linux and running PHP on Windows, and they're really in par. Well, maybe 1 millisecond or something, but it's really on par regarding to speeds and functionality as well.
Fastest accesses means you have to switch the slashes?
No, it's basically the source code of PHP, so you don't have to care about it, but the source code is a bit different for accessing your file system, for example.